Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast, with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Okay, our key tenets of recording today is that I, number one, have to maintain a buttery, calm tone and not scream the entire podcast. We're not going to talk about anything that's happening. We're going to completely ignore it.
Great.
Okay. But we can talk about what's happening with SFAI.
Oh, I love SFAI TV.
Yes, watch SFAI TV on Instagram.
There's people posting. I believe there's live events, live conversations, live actions. You got posted actions on the feed. It's all good all the time.
I was watching right before I got on to record with you. I was watching SFAI TV. There was a rock, paper, scissors tournament happening.
Oh my God,
it was fantastic.
So good.
I believe that's out of Lindsay White's comedy class.
Oh, yeah. That would make sense.
Yeah.
They're doing a great
job. So tune in. We got a call in from an SFAI student this week.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Jay. Hey, Mason. Hello. Congratulations, Pine Tree Podcast people. I'm one of the students from SFAI, and I just got off a meeting with a group of students, and we were talking about students' needs and what's happening, and there's really so much going on with all of this. It's pretty dramatic at the San Francisco Art Institute, and it's gone from them closing the school to them wanting to save the school to, you know, having these options that, like, only benefit maybe, like, 10% of the school and the community of SFAI. So it's really just been it's just a mess. You know, I want to use other words, a lot of curse words, but I'm not sure what the rules are with this. I will say, like, if I could get some help from the community asking what's going to happen to the international students who are going to be, you know, put out basically, or they have to move out supposedly by May 8th. We have students who can't necessarily go home and also don't have anywhere else to go. And so I think that's the top priority right now. And I also think it's screwed up that the people that are providing the most, like, resources and aid is students forming groups themselves, as well as, like, adjunct faculty and people that, you know, really are just getting just demolished and everything that's happening. And it's such a shame. So for anyone who's listening, it's like, please hold SFAI and the board and the administration accountable. And students have basically have no answers. We've gotten, like, these baby lists of schools we can transfer to. It's really just, I mean, I don't know. It's more than gross. I don't really know how to talk about it because I'm just so frustrated, and it's been so long being frustrated. So anything anyone can do to help, you know, that would be great. But don't let this get swept under the rug. I just don't. I know it's a really hard time for everyone, and you know, nobody is losing their lives because of SFAI closing. But, you know, if you have time to just, like, voice your support, it means a lot. It means a lot to a lot of people who've worked really hard to just be there and be a community for each other.
Thanks for calling in. Anybody that wants to call in about SFAI or anything else, you can give us a call, 419-407-6523. That's our Google Voice number. You can also text that number when we get the texts, and it's easier for me to share them with Maysoon if you text that number. So another update about SFAI. So as everybody knows, SFAI sent out this big notice that the school is closing, is not going to be open for next year. But now updates, the president of the school has gone on a leave of absence. Yep.
What is the board doing? What are they, I mean, on that community meeting I was part of, it sounded like they're trying to do some fundraising, but to what extent, you know?
It sounds like there is going to be a meeting about that on Monday. hey, this is Kate from the future. And Maysoon and I were going on and on about SFAI, but in the time since we recorded the podcast and we're now editing the podcast, I actually have an action item that you, the listener, could participate in. So go to congratulationspinetree.com/sign.html. That's sign.html. And there is a link there that will take you to a petition that you can sign that is basically demanding three very common sense demands from the Board of Trustees and administrators at SFAI. And this petition is being pushed by faculty and students. We have over 500 signatures right now on April 11th as I'm recording this. And our demands are very simple and common sense. Number one, no more closed sessions at Board of Trustees meetings. We are asking for transparency. Number two, no more layoffs of any staff or faculty, including adjunct faculty. And number three, no decisions about the fate of the school should take place without the full consultation of all stakeholders. We're basically just asking for more say in what happens at the school. There's been a real lack of accountability, as I'm sure many of you are aware. So if you want to go ahead and get on our website, congratulationspinetree.com/sign.html. Check out the petition, sign it if you so choose, and share it with your friends if you can. Thank you. Now back to the show. A little bit, I wish that we had been more urgent about everything. I feel like the faculty were kind of taking a more wait-and-see tack instead of being really aggressive with the board.
But when would you have started, like in hindsight, let's say? What would have been your timeline, I guess? I'm just trying to understand the whole time period.
I feel like we as a union have been talking about the financial problems the school has had for years now. Mm-hmm. So maybe even before the closure was announced, plan for a closure. Like, plan for what happens if they just declare that the school is closing.
Right, because it can't sustain itself financially.
I mean, you can't plan for everything, and like the union leadership is all volunteers who also have to teach their classes, and some people are running departments and doing all kinds of stuff. So it's like, but now we're trying to do all this stuff at once while also like putting our classes online and 8 million other things.
Right.
Taking care of people's kids and homeschooling and, you know.
Totally.
So I just, that's the thing, like the advice, because I've been to a few meetings with the leadership of the other unions, the other adjuncts unions represented by the SEIU 1021, the higher ed, the schools send representatives to meet together every once in a while.
Yeah.
And so, like, other schools were asking SFAI, like, what can we do to help you and support you? And I was kind of like, well, I don't think there's any, like, action item that we have right at this moment. I feel more like, look at us and beware.
Be warned.
Beware. Yeah, because I think that there are other schools, I'm not going to name any names, that are trying to do shady-ass shit under the veil of the virus.
Oh, which really?
Which we said we weren't going to talk about. Ooh. Yeah, like get laying people off and doing other creepy shit when you still have, you know, high administrators making six-figure salaries and shit.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. The whole thing is such a clusterfuck.
So, like, if if union negotiations started a couple of years ago, and you guys have been aware...
What do you mean?
You were just saying you guys have been talking about unionizing for years now, or been part of union negotiations?
No, the union has existed for like 4 years. Remember, it all started when we went to the lab. Remember lab, and we interviewed Lucasa, and I put microphone in the wrong plug?
But what you just said was, you said you guys have been talking about, I guess, the finances of the school for the past couple of years or something.
So, yeah, because enrollment's been low. And
yeah.
you know, it's been obvious. People have been laid off. Staff has been leaving for since I started at SFA.
Right. So, like, at that point, I wonder, would it have been prudent to sort of, like, put fire under the board? Board's yeah. ass, for example.
I mean, in hindsight, totally. In hindsight,
yeah. It's so frustrating that places always get to this point, you know, like, total desperation.
Yeah, so don't. People,
know?
Listen.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, how do you identify these things in advance, potentially?
I'm saying don't even worry about it. Just have a plan. If you're in a union, get involved with your union. Go to the meetings, know what's going on, know who's like leading your union, and get tight with that. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, know that you can get fucked at any time. Fuck. You know, if so just don't assume that
have
things
a contingency
are gonna be okay.
plan. For yourself,
have a personal contingency plan.
You cannot yep. count on your work.
Work on Ooh. Your union's connections to the other unions that are in your organization.
Yeah, because they'll come out for you strong.
Yeah, because you're so much more power as a unit.
Yeah.
As a united front. Okay, well, it's okay, Maysoon. Let's move on.
I feel like do we need a positive note for our caller? Because she was so down. I feel so bad for her.
We want to say a huge thank you to our caller and any students at SFAI, whether you had me as a teacher or not, I will write you a letter of recommendation.
Almost any of you.
Well, almost. Yeah, that's with a small caveat.
Tiny, tiny caveat. We got a letter. Art Practical sent out a letter today that sort of sent everyone reeling, it seems. Did you get that?
Oh, Lordy. Okay, so they sent this out, the future of Art Practical.
Basically, they've lost their funding from CCA.
The ties between Art Practical and CCA are being untied.
And in this letter, I didn't receive the letter, so I'm just looking at it now. Does Christina mention sort of like what their hope is for moving forward?
Well, it says that they're going to continue publishing through May.
Okay.
They look forward to all the stuff that's going to be coming out. They hold out hope that the future might carry potential and possibility through new sponsorships, operating models, or institutional affiliations.
Okay.
And they're keeping their door open, so please reach out if you have ideas, experiences, or support to offer.
Great.
Well, great. I have an idea.
I know you do. What's your idea, Kate?
I think that they should partner with some kind of for-profit business.
Yeah.
Like a pizza place.
Minus the profit margin.
You think pizza's got the lowest profit
margin?
Yeah, dude. You know what's got a high profit margin?
Who? What?
Coffee shop. What about a coffee shop?
No, they don't.
They sure do. It only costs 25 cents or something to make an espresso shot, and you know you're selling that shit for $5.
It's true. However, I don't think they have a ton of excess money. What about all their staff?
Look, pal, I don't make the rules here. I'm just the idea person.
Good. I do think that's a good idea. My only question would be like, you know, just negotiating. My only concern would be negotiating a fair kind of agreement, because it's like when you, I think, team with a for-profit, they're going to want you to do all their publicity for them.
Okay, but if it's a coffee shop, then like who gives
cares?
A shit?
Right, I know.
Yeah. Just don't make it be some sketchy ass like Halliburton or some shit.
Oh my God. They don't have a coffee shop, do they?
No, probably.
I do think that's kind of the way to go. Or maybe there's like a, I keep thinking about like restaurants, especially in the Mission and elsewhere, who've kind of been doing like the pop-up model, where it's like maybe the restaurant operates at night, but then they have a pop-up, something that happens during the day as a way to kind of like help pay their rent that might be too expensive.
Yeah.
So maybe there's some model like that where they... I don't know, but that probably doesn't work for a publication platform.
I would call that the Lady Hawk model.
The Lady Hawk model, okay.
Because of the movie Lady Hawk with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Okay.
Where she is in love with a man who turns into a wolf at night, and she turns into a hawk during the day, so they never can be human together.
Oh. Okay, Lady Hawk model. What about this model? How about the model where they team up with... a marijuana dispensary.
Perfect. Couldn't have a better idea.
Because that seems like a lot of potential money going through that business.
Yes.
More so maybe than pizza, even though pizza sounds better to me.
Plus, there's the whole, there's the whole issue of like bougie white people profiting off of weed. We haven't really resolved the whole weed industry. What do you mean?
Bougie white. Okay.
Well, there's like still tons and tons of people of color in prison for selling weed while all these bougie ass white venture capital funded tech ass motherfuckers are opening up dispensaries all over the place with motherfucking jewel pods
that are killing the kids. But we're just trying to think of some ideas. There's never a wrong idea in when we're ideating. Before we completely get off track, because we already have, I just wanted to say with Art Practical that, you know, send them your good thoughts and ideas. Send good vibes their way. They're having a public online panel discussion called The Future of Art Practical on May 6th at 5 p.m. If you go to their website, you can probably find the link to that panel there. But, you know, that's a good way to, you know, showing up to support our community is a good way.
Maysoon, let's really go off.
Kate, don't say that. I thought I just went off.
No, let's really go off. Listen up, listeners to the show. If you have money, if you are part of a business, if you are part of anything, a group, a neighborhood.
If you want to support cultural production and the arts in this city, in this Bay Area, and you have the means, you have the space, you want to work it out, you want to figure it out because you believe in it.
This is where your money should go.
Yes.
If you're going to donate to an art thing right now, okay, well, to be real, like...
There's so many things to donate to right now.
There's lots of things. Okay, get in there on the ground floor. Support artists that need the money. Okay, do that. That's A. Ground level, give your money to artists and other things.
Yes.
Okay, but then also... give to Art Practical and then somehow find a way to kind of graft them onto your for-profit business, which preferably is a coffee shop or some other kind of food place.
Industry.
Mm-hmm. But whatever you got, if you want to graft a small regional art publication onto your thing, just go ahead and do it, okay?
Yeah. Just go do it. They're really one of the only... art publishing
things
art publication things in the Bay Area. I mean, so yeah. It's pretty important. It's important for artists also to have things written about them, to have things written about their work,
writers, you
know? And for writers to have opportunities to fucking
write. Need opportunities to write, you know, the more shit
readers
more
need opportunities to expand their thinking, all sorts of things. It does a lot for all of us.
Yeah. Do we have to go back to Rennie Pritikin's prescription for a healthy art scene?
We could. That's a good idea. I always like to revisit that.
Okay, here we go, Maysoon. And it's hard right now because we're literally in the second Great Depression.
It's true. That's so true. Right?
So we might have to get... You know, Maysoon, I was on a Zoom today for the MFA class at CCA. Glenn Helfand invited me. Yeah. To come speak
was
to
that
their
today?
Students. Yeah, you didn't come,
shoot.
Motherfucker.
I thought that was tomorrow. I'm sorry I missed that. Sorry, Glenn. Oh. Fucking loser.
It's okay, Maysoon, but, you know, they're not having a show, right? Because you can't. You can't have people together. So they're doing something online, and we'll shout that out. When they have that all sorted, we'll shout that out, and everybody go check it out. I can't imagine being at your last semester of grad school right now. And obviously, people are dying.
Yes.
And that's the number one tragedy.
Yes, it most definitely is.
And people are losing their jobs and terrible shit is going on.
Okay. The highest rate of unemployment. It's so crazy right now.
Yeah, it's out of control. Things are out of control. But just a very small... sadness of not being able to do your MFA show after all the time, money, and energy. That's rough.
That's pretty sad.
That sucks. For MFAs, for the undergrads that were supposed to have their BFA shows, for the people that were supposed to have symposia and present their thesis or stuff.
Yeah.
That sucks. Okay.
Okay.
So
here we are.
But anyhow, Maysoon, I was on that Zoom and...
Oh, yeah.
there, I felt like we came to some kind of hopeful message, maybe.
Oh, good.
That there are ways we can get weird with our situation right now. Like, what if you just take your work and you go leave it at a place outside?
Yeah. I kind of wish I could hand over keys to the gallery and just be like, cool, go set up in the gallery and have a show that no one can see, but at least it's in a gallery.
Yeah, or like put something in your window that people could walk by if you have a street-facing window.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And people could, you know, not have to gather or anything, but on their daily mandated walk.
Right, exactly.
They could go walk by your artwork, you know, where people are getting creative with how they can do things digitally.
Yeah.
You know, and I was also talking about how, like, I don't generally like going to openings, but when we are out of quarantine, I want to go to every fucking opening. I can't fucking wait.
Aw.
To drink seltzer with people again.
Aw.
So, like, I don't know. Okay, so let's get to Rennie thing.
All right, prescriptions for a healthy art
scene.
Wait,
you do the odds and I'll do the evens.
Okay, there's 23 of these points. Just
here we go. Let's do it. Everybody knows this, but can't hurt to look at it again.
Prescription one, a large pool of artists. There's a critical mass or tipping point that makes a scene.
Number two, teaching opportunities, which helps support the pool of artists.
Number three, active art schools, which feed into the pool of artists and give artists teaching opportunities.
Number four, I know, right? Mason gave me the look of a lifetime. Number four, studio space that's affordable as well as live work. Law that allows artists to occupy light industrial spaces.
Hmm. Oh, gosh. It's like,
we are losing these day by day.
I know. Number five, alternative spaces that give exhibition and residency opportunities for new art and ideas.
Number six, adventurous art dealers who take on new artists support artists with sales.
Mm-hmm. Adventurous art dealers. That's funny.
Adventurous.
I know. Number seven, adventurous collectors who buy locally and buy new work and make their collections available to students.
All those rich collectors, you can be sending some money to Art Practical.
It's like is it the Niles people from that Stephanie used to work with at Mills?
Yep.
They were kind of like that. They were great.
And like Penny and Rena,
mm-hmm.
The collectors. And I had a complete brain meltdown the other day where I couldn't remember the name of the people that run Minnesota Street.
The Rappaports.
That's right. Okay, where are we at?
You're on number eight.
Number eight, sophisticated writers to document, discuss, and promote new ideas/continuing regional development.
Number nine, publications for them to write for.
Gotta keep that. Number nine, that's one we can keep, guys. Get on it. Maysoon, I want
Art
Practical. My dog is absolutely insane right now.
He absolutely believes in number nine.
Yeah, but Maysoon, I want Art Practical to survive and thrive.
Yes.
But I got to say, when I first read that email, I was like, oh, shit, is it? Are they saying they're done? And I was like, well, I guess I have to take it upon myself to start some new publication in the Bay Area.
You can still do that.
And I was like, just got to do it out the back of a pizza place. But I'm glad I maybe don't have to do it.
How about on the back of a pizza box?
Not a bad idea.
That'd be cute.
Sneaking the art reviews.
Ooh,
and stuff in.
Yes, into your pizza delivery. Oh my God, I fucking love that. It's so good.
Right?
That's great, Kate.
Okay, if you work for a pizza place with an open mind, please get in contact.
Please contact us immediately.
Yeah.
Okay, number 10, okay, go.
Newspaper critics who are thoughtful and sophisticated and talented. I don't know about newspaper critics.
Yeah. Not too many of those. There's a few.
Oh, God.
Number 11, fellowships and grants available for artists and writers.
12, accessible museums and curators who talk to each other and do studio visits with local artists.
13, interested audiences who attend all of the above and read about it, too.
14, access to specialized materials or businesses, such as high-tech materials in the SF Bay Area or film industry in L.A.
Very specific.
Number tech people, give all your shit to the artists.
Number 15, social space where new ideas are being generated about art, society, and the role of art.
16, hangout / party / salon / lecture series. I feel like we've got a shit tons of lecture series. Speaking of which, Living Room Light Exchange has one coming up. They moved on to Zoom, and so you can watch it for free, or you can give them a nice donation. Their next one is going to be on April 21st with Mika Cardenas.
Okay.
Okay. Cece Moss and Kira Dominguez-Holtgren. Okay?
Yep.
It's going to be on Zoom. And you can check out all their stuff at livingroomlightexchange.com. And it's at 7:30 Pacific. And I think it's just like pay what you want. If you want to pay a little something, send them some money too.
Cool.
God knows everyone just is overflowing with money to give away.
Did you want to finish reading that number?
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, so lecture series, restaurant / bar. See Maysoon. We need these restaurants, which are doing so well right now.
Or maybe bars. Bars make a lot of money.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to encourage people to drink alcohol.
Okay.
I had no problem with the weed store. Okay. Where a sense of community is manifested.
All right. Number 17, articulate artist leaders. Not me.
Yeah. Number 18, heroes, iconoclasts, villains, people everyone loves to hate.
That's funny.
I love that he put that in there.
That's pretty great.
I feel like we have a little too many villains. And then sometimes what? I'm like, are we evil as a community? That we have so many villains that we all love to shit talk.
I think there's as many villains as there are heroes. Although sometimes the heroes also become villains, don't you think?
Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Number 20, progressive political climate that encourages art as opposed to, say, Giuliani using his office to go after the Brooklyn Museum.
Fuck yeah. When did Rennie write this?
I don't know. I guess back when Giuliani was mayor of New York. So early 2000s?
That's nuts.
Almost 20 years ago.
Did I already
21.
Did we switch?
Oh, I think we skipped.
Did we skip one?
Shit the bed.
We skipped 19. Artists and residency opportunities.
I thought that was already kind of there, but.
Now you do 21.
Opportunities for artists to get involved in politics.
Tons of that. We got that more than in anywhere. Okay, number 22. Opportunities for public art, city or private.
And finally,
we got pretty robust.
We got that. We got some of that.
I don't know. We can always do more.
Finally, number 23, events that bring people together, scheduled multi-gallery opening nights, for example.
Okay, so keep all this in mind as we are creating a new future together. Maysoon. I really like the idea of making artwork and just putting it outside.
Are you going to do that? Would you have done that as a grad student?
Yeah, I don't know. If I was in quarantine. I'm like, where can I put something? Yeah,
I guess you could also put some things in trees. You could hang things.
Yeah, right.
You could set up some sculptures or.
I've been wanting to do a show in
the forest
video,
a little monitor with a video playing. Maybe some stuff like that.
Little solar-powered screen.
Or just run an extension cord out of your house. Whatever you need.
That'd be nuts.
Aww.
Okay, what else is going on, Maysoon? The number one news item at my apartment is we have some neighbors that have a puppy who's like, whatever, seven-month-old puppy. And they love to play with it in the garage, which is like right below.
Yeah.
Like, we have a balcony at our apartment overlooking the parking
lot
area.
Yeah, and parts of Oakland.
It's a small. We have a soft story building where there's parking under the building and then a little bit beside. Right? And so they're outside with this puppy, I feel like 4 hours on end.
Wow.
Throwing this fucking squeaking ball. That is the loudest thing on earth. And Katie's work area for her work at home time is next to a window.
Right. So she, oh my God.
And she's on these Zoom calls where there it sounds like she's at a circus or something.
I love it. Fucking Katie, that sucks.
Home
this,
news.
Zoom this
news.
Morning, Jimbo and I spotted this incredible brightly colored red bird that was not a robin. I think it might have been a tanager. It was small. It was like a little guy. It was gorgeous. It was like red-breasted, had a red head. It was just a little chirpy little guy. And it was just sitting on the like electric wires behind our building, like on the porch. We opened the door and we're like, oh, we were freaking out. It was so cool. And it had a little friend that was not colorful, which was probably the lady friend. Maybe he was, you know how the males in the animal kingdom are the colorful
the
ones?
Birds. The female birds are all just reproductive burlap sacks, according to my friend Laura Schmidt.
Reproductive burlap sacks. It's pretty good. Anyhow, that was like the highlight of the day for sure, seeing that bird. I hope it comes back tomorrow. We also recently hung up a hummingbird feeder in hopes to see more hummingbirds near the porch. On the porch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we also have set up a clothes drying line.
Nice.
The porch that consists of 1 6-foot string of rope and one mic stand fully extended with like 13 hangers on it.
Perfect.
So I think we'll be shelter in place for a while longer. I think, you know, everyone should just try to get as comfortable as they possibly can.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, try not to think about when you're going to get out and just enjoy being in.
Yeah, and if you want to talk to our voicemail, you can give us a call. 419-407-6523. You can email us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Or you can tweet us at @PineTreePodcast. I'm really coming to new levels every day.
New levels of what?
Just finding new levels. Yesterday, Katie and I hid a cat collar in different places around the apartment and played hot or cold.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
We've done hide and seek.
Hide and seek in the apartment?
Yep.
Just you and Katie? Or with are the cats and dogs playing too?
Just us.
Is that actually entertaining? You guys have a board game night. That looks fun.
What board game?
Don't you have a board game night? I thought you posted.
Katie's been playing Dungeons and Dragons with some of her friends.
You don't.
I feel like Katie is really making the most of it with all the Zooming and the FaceTiming. She's got like a packed schedule every day.
See, that's awesome. If that's what she wants to do. I have Zoom meetings on the weekend. I have a standing Zoom meeting on Saturday with my mom, my best friend, and her mom. And then I have another Zoom meeting on standing on Sunday with a handful of really good friends from around the country.
Okay, Maysoon, let's meet together in our dreams from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.